1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. Boy, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but in Los Angeles, we've got a blessed break from the rain. We have sun for the first time in a few days. It's still a little cold, but at least we've got some sun busting through the clouds. The hills are going to dry out. The streets will dry out a little bit. And you just get the feeling that things are looking up. You get the feeling that things are going to be sweet. And it's just going to be a sweet thing. I don't know. I have that feeling. Also, we've raised $113,066 for my friend's place. A resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. Can you hold on for just a minute? Hold on for a minute. I got news people running in here. The number one rated Phil Hendry Show, Best of the Year 2000 CD. You want me to read this now? Okay. I need to have this confirmed before I can go on the air with that. Let me try to muster as much professionalism as I can. I've just been handed some news that I'm hoping it's not true. I am hoping it's not true. In fact, please forgive the theatrics. I'm going to fall back on my Catholicism for just a moment. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, it is true. You know, it's funny. You drive to work, the sun's shining. You feel good. Maybe you feel good for the first time in a few weeks. Maybe things weren't going your way, and all of a sudden you feel like maybe today's the day. Today's the day. I can smile. And then I sit down, and someone hands me a piece of paper with this news on it. And blackness begins to envelop even the most lighthearted. Ladies and gentlemen, across the United States, here in Los Angeles, I'm so very, very sorry to have to be the bearer of this news. I know perhaps many of your news operations across the United States at this moment will be breaking in with this information. If they have not yet, it falls upon me to give you the word that Arista Records has extended Kenny G's recording contract. He's going to keep playing the saxophone. It is 10 minutes after 4 o'clock Pacific time. The news came to us at approximately 4:05 Pacific time that Kenny G has gotten a contract extension. I know we will all remember where we were when the space shuttle exploded, when Robert Kennedy so tragically was struck down at the Biltmore Hotel, when John Kennedy, of course, was martyred for a young nation, when Martin Luther King, the great leader, the great hope for our nation, was struck down in Memphis. And now, so you have Kennedy getting shot, Martin Luther King getting shot, Robert Kennedy getting shot, the Challenger exploding, and Kenny G getting a contract extension. How much more of this can I take? How much more? I'm sorry. Let's go to Bob Bakey. And I know, Bob, forgive me, Bob, for my lack of professionalism.
Well, I'm sure we all understand. This is Bob Bakey, and I am above the city of Los Angeles right now, where candlelight vigils have suddenly broken out all over the city, and considering the fact that the sun is still out, that's pretty strange that people would walk down the street with lit candles. But they're doing that here in Southern California, as the word has come down that Kenny G refuses to stop playing the saxophone.
And Bob, if I could just jump in.
Go ahead, Phil.
Police are now telling us the very early shape of this nauseating tragedy is beginning to come into focus. Police now say that Kenny G was quoted, and listen to how sick and pathological this statement is. He was quoted earlier today as saying, "I'm very excited about the New Deal, which are the result of a great association that will benefit us all for years to come. Can you imagine that?
You wonder. You toss and turn at night. You look at your children and you wonder, how is something like that created? Did a woman give birth to that? Did a reptile? It's just nauseating, Phil.
I think we'll all remember, Bob, where we were when we heard the news that Kenny G is still going to play whatever that thing is that he plays.
Some people say it is a soprano saxophone. The forensic unit at the FBI right now is still trying to figure out whether it's a sax, is it a clarinet.
I know that there was the War Crimes Tribunal with the United Nations. What have they been able to dig up so far?
Phil, right now, they are saying that it's not jazz. They have concluded that it's not jazz, even though Kenny G has stated that he plays jazz. Now, it's significant that The Hague, the War Crimes Tribunal at The Hague, would come out categorically and say it isn't jazz.
Well, we've all known that. We've known it for years that it isn't jazz.
But this is a significant thing that the War Crimes Tribunal. Now, at the trial of the Bosnians, when Kenny G was also questioned as to whether or not they were playing his music while they were pillaging those villages, we don't yet have the definitive information. But we do know that the CIA used Kenny G's music in interrogating Iraqi prisoners during the Gulf War, and we have some of that. I know, Phil, you have that?
Yes, we have some of the tapes right now. And
we're hearing it right now for the first time.
Yeah, these are the tapes of Iraqi soldiers being interrogated during by the CIA during the Gulf War, playing Kenny G's music, which the War Crimes Tribunal at The Hague now says isn't jazz. So there it is. That's all we have.
That's just a snippet that we wanted. We also, of course, have this. It came to us very late, and it occurred about probably 2 days ago. Kenny G Music. Kenny G Music brutally assaulted a man's apartment in the Slauson District. Listen to how brave this family was in trying to keep this out of their home as a neighbor was playing it.
Got it? Yeah. Go ahead, Bob. We're up. Didn't do anything?
You can hear that, Phil, where that gunshot didn't do a thing.
I'm hearing it. This is horrible. Come on, kill it.
What?
Kill him! Kill him!
And that's all we have. So that, along with so many other things, it's all being assembled by United States attorneys and military tribunals. Eventually, in Nuremberg, Rudolf Hess, I think, is... they still haven't gotten rid of him, so Hess and Kenny G, both on trial. And this is Bob Baking reporting the very tragic news. I think we'll all remember the horror of his successful attempt to break the world record for the longest continuous note.
Well, I am just so sick. I know you've got some recordings.
We do. These are some man-on-the-street recordings recorded earlier.
I don't know, man. When he tried to do the thing from Titanic, why? Why he do that? Why a man gotta do that?
I believe in God, and I know that there's nowhere Kenny G can run.
The Simon Wiesenthal Center has been tracking Mr. G, and certainly, Mr. G, I'd like you to know you can't. There's nowhere you can go. Argentina, sure. Brazil, even Miami, where they're very big on that. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, man, I don't think. Well, that's all we had, Phil. That last one was unintelligible.
One of the men there made a very good point, and that was the fact that was there an arrest made after he recorded Theme from Titanic?
No, there was not, Phil. No arrests yet. They are pending. And so I don't know what to tell you.
Well, I can tell you this. I just got, we're getting calls from all over the city, all over the country. One lady said she was shopping for underwear at JCPenney when she heard the news that Kenny G has extended his contract with Arista. He's going to continue playing saxophone.
Please stop!
We'll all remember where we were. All right, so to recap, the news came into our newsroom. Kenny G And we are so very, very deeply sorry to all of you. We have to report Kenny G will keep on playing. No arrests have been made yet in his recording of Loving You. So that's all we have. We'll be right back. This is The Phil Hendry Show. Okay, I'm better. This is the Phil Hendry Show. I feel a lot better. I've gotten over it. I'm going to move on. That's all you can do. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. I'm just trying to... It's going to be okay. It's going to be... Oh, God.
Why? Why won't the horror end?
Frasier staying on the air for another 3 years. And Bob Bakian, I know you just heard that... Yes.
All right, so I'm jumping.
Okay, so Bob just leapt out of his helicopter. So now there's a chopper out of control out there someplace, and I understand he's over downtown. So you guys that are having lunch, it's been nice knowing you. All right, now Frazier's cool. Kenny G, he's okay. You know what started the Kenny G phenomenon? If you listen to... See, I know you don't know. Schaefer just told me that the first jazz he ever heard was this, or some friend's idea of what jazz was. The reason why people put down Kenny G, I guess, is I don't know why people put down Kenny G. I know why I'm not a particularly big fan, because I grew up listening to jazz, and I remember, well, there are names that maybe you don't know, maybe you do. Guys like Joe Farrell, John Klemmer, there was this kind of jazz fusion thing happening in the early 70s. And it was all sort of born out of the experimentation of people like John Coltrane and maybe Cannonball Adderley and a few people, you know, Charlie Parker before that. And Charles Lloyd was another guy. He had the Charles Lloyd Quartet. This was a guy who was a jazz player, heavily influenced by the so-called pop revolution and the musical revolution of the 60s. So... Anyway, make a long story short, these guys sort of experimented, and they began to fuse. I think probably the worst thing that ever happened to jazz was fusion, where guys like Larry Coryell would play an electric guitar for, you know, I mean, like a fuzz tone electric guitar in jazz. And all of that was kind of interesting, and you know, sort of off the beaten path, and a lot of jazz purists didn't like that. And then all of a sudden, before you knew it, before you... were conscious, before you were able to get a hold of yourself and get out of the house, before the smoke overtook you to get out of the house, you're suddenly suffering from the inhalation of Kenny G. And that's, you know, listen to it. When you hear this, what are you thinking? I know what you're thinking. 94.7, The Wave. I'm Herman Gehring. And coming up in the next quarter hour, we're going to hear the sweet, syrupy sounds of Big Ben Dildonic. And Ben is going to play stuff that sounds just like this. And I'm going to talk like this. For the next 4 hours, I'll be talking just like this. And there's nothing you can do about it, really. Sure. Yeah, see, you can't hurt me. Go ahead, do it again. I can't be hurt. And is it jazz? We don't know. It could be. 94.7 The Wave with quasi-jazz. Something that is sort of like jazz. 94.7 playing music that maybe you can tell your friends is jazz if they don't know any better. And we'll be right back after this. We'll be right back after I have an enema. I've got to get my lower colon cleaned out. You're listening to Music for Doctor's Offices. Uh-oh, I have a cold. I have to leave. Eddie, can you take over?
I don't know. Are you right?
Just come on, bud. So suddenly the cat has a cold, so he has to split, right? And, And they, you know, they pulled up the short bus, and that's the first guy off. Come on, we need you.
Right on that.
Just, it doesn't matter. Get in there, will you? Try to be mellow.
David!
No, wait, mellow it up, man, because our smooth voice cat, he's got a cold, so you got to do it right. Go.
94.7.
All jazz all the time.
All jazz. There's no time.
Yeah, that's it. That's perfect. We're out of business. Okay, I can't take it any longer. And, of course, the argument was this. It wasn't an argument. My statement is, what big deal? Guys don't like this music. People figure guys don't dig it. Women do. Because women are not into busting it down and looking at it. They're just into feeling it. Men are analytical. Women are emotional. Blah, 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 blah. Guys like to sit around and talk about jazz theory. My wife hates jazz. Maria, I said, don't you want... No, I can't. She can't stand it. She hates it. I said, how can you hate jazz? She just does. I guess it's because you can't move your ass to it or something. I don't know what it is. But I had some jazz albums. You know what? It's been years before I've heard any music that I actually bought. It's been years before I've heard music in our home that I like. I moved into our house, and I moved in with Maria. We got married. All of my music, I can't put it on. 3 seconds, it clears a room. All the stuff that I like, Paul Butterfield, blues, well, it doesn't make any difference. It clears the freaking room. She don't want to hear it, you know, and the kids don't dig it. And, of course, now I torture the kids going to school in the morning. I play country music because they can't stand that. They're ready to throw themselves out of a moving vehicle at 75. Go ahead. Make any difference to me. And they're screaming in the back. Now, Melissa just gave me the note. This is the official female point of view. Blues is great. Jazz is boring and repetitive. Melissa hates jazz, and she hates Kenny G. And so, as a result, she... Oh, boy. She speaks for all women. All right, thanks for that, Melissa. I don't want to be cruel or anything, but it is pretty... It's pretty sad crap. All right, this is the Phil Henry Show. And we are featuring some sad crap today. We will have Art Griego coming up with us in just a few moments. I had an idea, and this is something that I'd like to do for your school, and the Phil Henry Show offers this to all school administrations across the country. If you have a high school and you'd just like to mess with the students' heads a little bit. See, one of the things that I think was there's no humor in school, and there's nobody's really doing anything creative to sort of twist kids' brains around a little bit. I mean, in a very healthy way. You know, because everybody's like all ready to just be seriously put upon. We've had this horrible thing happen in Southern California. We've had the horrible things in Columbine. The kids are all used to lockdown, police, rules, regulations. You can't wear this and you can't wear that. And everybody is in combat garrison mode. All over America. The immediate response to any of these problems is to lock the door, padlock the door. Just lockdown, baby. Lock and load. And what I was thinking is I would hire myself out as the new dean of students. And I would walk in, walking like I got a cob up my rear end or something, and I've got the glasses on, and I would start laying even more rules on the students, like you can't wear this, and you can't wear that, and you can't wear earrings, and you can't have that colored hair, and you kids, we're going to get rid of all of your free clothing, you're going to have to wear uniforms, right? And then just sort of walk off stiff-legged, right? And then about an hour later, have a real member of the administration say, we were only putting you on. I think that that's the way to solve the problem that we've got on our high school campuses right now. We need to give these guys, we need to put these kids on a little bit. Give them a couple of laughs. Like that kid there, if somebody would have just, yo, I'm screwing with you, man. I don't know. But something's got to be done because everything is just so deathly serious. Bring a couple of laughs back into our schools and maybe that's the way to go, huh? What do you think? Anyway, so my number is, well, you know what my number is. You got my pager. Call me. Be happy to show up at school dressed in some kind of a, you know, a dark gray suit with a funny looking tie and the horn rim glasses and pretend like I'm the dean of something and say that, well, as a result of the shooting, we're going to have to lock down and you guys can't wear, you know, you're going to have to, all that stuff, man. I don't want to see any of you guys in anything other than long gray slacks and white shirts, okay? Oh, I'm only kidding. And then just walk off. Okay. Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Make him look mad.
All right, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Here's a story here. An 8-year-old boy was briefly taken into custody Monday after bringing a gun to school. You know, I just want to, and it's not said enough. It really isn't said enough. I want to say to all of you parents out there that make every effort to make sure a child gets a gun into his hand before he goes to school. My hat's off to you, Mr. and Mrs. America. A tip of my hat and a big thumbs up to all of you parents who, even though we had a school shooting in Santee, you still make an effort to get that gun into that kid's hands. There must be people out there, they're reading the new... Hey, look at this, a school shooting. Well, let's get a rifle in his hand, let's go. Don't let our kid be the only one who ain't got no gun, come on. Have you guys reached the point where you don't care, right? You are, you're there, aren't you? You don't care, do you? Good for you. Kids are dying. Kids are killing each other. They're shooting up schools. I don't know. It's like mass mayhem. There's the insanity of some kind of only an American nightmare of a kid coming to school with a gun, and you don't care anymore. Well, you're just like all the rest of us. So the best thing that we could say right now would be, we don't care. As long as it's not happening in our school, we don't care, right? According to AP, the Santee kid's father had locked his gun collection, but not too well. Is that what AP said? He locked his gun collection, but obviously not too well because the kid got a hold of a gun. What kind of a story is that? When they went to the interview this guy, they say, was your gun collection locked? Yeah, it was locked. How did he get it? I guess he got it out of the locked gun collection. Yeah. Well, it's like, how do you rob a bank when the money is in the vault where nobody can get to it, right? Well, some of the money's not in the vault. It's sitting in a drawer. So we have this situation there in Santee, which is tough. But now we got the 8-year-old kid being, taken into custody because he brought a gun to school. So for the great efforts that are made by many parents across America, make sure your kid gets a gun in his hand, good for you. Hey, you know what, man? I'm not the one that had these kids. You guys did. I got 4 stepkids. That was somebody else's doing. I'm just charged with raising them part of the time. But I made a concerted effort that I would not inflict my kids on the world. Because I don't, it's hard enough for me getting through this thing. It's hard enough for me to get up in the morning, go to whatever it is I call my job, and get home without causing too much damage. I was going to burp 5 more kids out into the planet, like a lot of you cats. Do I think I'm better than you? Let me guess. Yes. Yes, I do. I'm better than you. I didn't have any kids. You had the kids. I said, I will not have a kid. Why? I'm too selfish to deal with kids. All I can do is care about myself and my career. When I go to my grave, when the good Lord looks at me and says, you were pretty selfish, weren't you, Phil? Yeah, I was. I didn't have a kid. Let's all make an agreement before we fawn over the sonograms, before we fall all over ourselves to see the new baby pictures, before you bring your kid into work to show it off to everybody, let's make sure the kid hits his 18th birthday without pulling a freaking Gatling gun out in a mall someplace. After he hits 18 and things are beautiful, look at the hair on her, Jesus. Some lady just walked by the window here. She had extensions that were the color of the Caribbean, actually. That was gorgeous. And then she saw me looking at her, and she split. Anyway, she had these wild braided extensions, and she had a gun. Now, anyway, let's just do that, okay? Before you start bringing in the kids so we can all... Before we're all supposed to take it for granted that your kid is the only kid that was ever born, that the sun rises and sets on your little darling, that there was never been another soccer player, another ball player, another scientist, there's never been another kid before your kid came along, let's see if they can get to birthday number 18 without pulling out a freaking saber and just wielding it like a machete in a parking lot someplace. Let's just see if we can make it to birthday number 18 without anybody dying at their hands. That I really would like to see that happen. Now I realize that most kids are fine, upstanding, or are they? Look, just because a kid doesn't kill anybody... Then there's the other side of it. There's the kid that's out there on the, you know, what is he doing? He's sitting down and he's discussing Hegel in a liquor store someplace, all right? He's waiting for his 49-cent breakfast. He's drinking his lunch. He's drinking his dinner. All kinds of crap. I just got done reading this Joe DiMaggio biography, Hero's Life. Do you know anything about Joe DiMaggio Jr.? You know Joe DiMaggio, the big hero? You heard about him, didn't you? Oh, he's a big hero. Yeah, everybody was talking about what a hero. You know where his son is? His son's in the ground, too. His son croaked about 6 months after the old man, homeless, drug addict. Why? His old man wouldn't have anything to do with him. Big Joe DiMaggio wouldn't have nothing to do with him. Because Joe DiMaggio's too busy being Joe DiMaggio, whatever the hell that was. And I'm still trying to figure that one out. He played ball, as far as I know. I wasn't around to see any of it, so I couldn't care less. Plus, he was a New York Yankee, which makes it doubly like I don't give a crap. But be that as it may, I understand that he was pretty good. Well, beyond that, as a human, oh, and he also sold Mr. Coffee, and there was this thing with Marilyn Monroe that I still don't get. What's with the flowers at the grave and the whole thing with that guy? Well, he died 2 years ago. Come to find out that his son was still alive, Joe DiMaggio Jr. If you didn't know there was a Joe DiMaggio, there was a Joe DiMaggio Jr. Where have you gone, Joltin' Joe, man? Well, where have you gone? Where's your son? Where's your kid? His kid's in the ground. His kid had no teeth. His kid had to buy teeth to put in his mouth to go to his old man's funeral. This is DiMaggio's son. Who are we making heroes in this country anyway? Who are you people kidding? I wouldn't give you 5 cents for some of these scumbags that we call heroes. And that starts with ball players. It starts with them. Forget about whether or not the kid watches too much TV. It's just about, everybody says it's values. Well, what are the values of a society where you elevate some scumbag like Joe DiMaggio? What are the values of a society elevating these guys, these football players, baseball players, basketball players, these string bean mothers, freaking 7 foot janitors? These cats, they dribble a ball and they, you know, whatever, man, good for you. But these guys are not anybody's hero. They shouldn't be. Michael Jordan, what's he doing now? Anyway, you want to know, it's just the kid gets pissed. You want to know why a kid gets pissed? Because there's hypocrisy. That is the number one breeder of rage, hypocrisy. What is a society about that on the one hand has a picture of Mariah Carey on the cover of People magazine and what a fat pig she is trying to pour herself into that dress, and then on the inside they have a whole thing on anorexia. So on the one hand, Mariah Carey looks like a fat slob in the dress, even though she looks fantastic in a dress, but hey, she's really pushing at the seams on that one. Boy, look at the ass on her. And the other hand, boy, anorexia, what a tragedy, huh? Come on, kids. What the hell are you talking about? No wonder people are freaking picking up guns. In fact, when I saw that, I wanted to pick up a gun. In fact, I still might. And I won't be going to school with it. So there's that. And then you got guys, we're making heroes out of guys like DiMaggio and these other freaks. Man, there's a new freak a week. Bill Russell was a basketball player. And he said something every time a kid wanted to get an autograph. He said, go get your teacher's autograph, which is a little corny. But you know what? It's almost to the point. It's like, bug off, kid. Go get somebody's autograph that's worth it. At least Bill Russell knew he wasn't nothing. And come to find out, he wasn't. He was a Celtic. Me being a Laker fan. You got that one right, Bill. The problem, if you want to boil it down, is we don't do what we say. We don't mean what we say. We're full of crap. The kids see it, and they get angry. Some kids just have to weather it. Some kids just plow through it. They take a look at all the BS around them and go, well, you know what? Every one of these people are full of crap. I'm going to have to just plow right through it. I'm going to have to make it to adulthood. I'm going to have to seize my life myself, and I'm going to have to do something with it. The weak ones, the ones that can't get through that, they can't, you know, they drown in the BS. And some of them, you know, try to fight their way to the surface. So that's the, you know, I didn't mean to bag on Joe DiMaggio, but it's the only book that I've read in the last year. And it was quite telling about his kid buying teeth, being homeless, sitting in a freaking dipsy dumpster when he wasn't trying to reach his old man. And I think the old man finally left him like 20 G's a year in a trust, which, yeah, it's better than most kids get it. But Joe DiMaggio was made out of money when he died. But you know what now? You see, you live your life like a creep, and finally people are going to figure it out. Look at this guy now. DiMaggio, everybody thought he was the top thing when he was alive. Now everybody knows what a slob he was. Now everybody knows. And the scumbags that took over his estate, These lawyers in Florida, who are these guys? Anybody want to spend 5 minutes with these guys? There you go. That's the baloney that causes crap like Santee and Columbine. And don't tell me I'm wrong. I'm right. That's the thing that kids look at and they go, you know what, I can't take it. I'm checking out and I'm taking a few with me. Hey, kid, I know how you feel. Problem is, I'm a little healthier than you. Problem is, I was raised in the 60s. I had just enough of a dose of flower power to keep me chilled, you know, up into my old age. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Show here, 1-800-449-8686. We're still just a little stunned here, having met Carrie Kasem, Casey's daughter. She was just here, and big fan of our show, and she's beautiful. Not that Casey's ugly. I mean, I'm not going to be, yeah, I'm not trying to say, you know, Jesus, coming out of him. But, you know, Casey's a pleasant-looking guy, but she's just absolutely stunning, and so her mother must be just a knockout. So, and she was the one with the blue hair. So now all of a sudden I feel chagrined and apologetic and, well, not real. Well, yes, okay, I am. I don't know. I used to do this bit down in Miami, Casey Kasem's police blotter, and I would read all these crimes in the Casey Kasem voice. A man was arrested for setting fire to a dog. You know, and somehow it just came out cool. You know, you'd hear, I'm Casey Kasem, and coming up, we're going to be on death row as they pull the switch on Leroy Williams because of a multiple murder in the early 80s, right after this. You know, I don't know. Well, I thought it would somehow make it, would make it better. No, it would make murder better. Make execution better. That was it. Which was the whole idea because people are still sort of ambivalent about it. But if you had a cat like Casey announcing that coming up, another guy gets juiced in San Quentin right after this word. I mean, it might work, you know. I don't know. So anyway, getting back to our 8-year-old guy with a gun. So what about that, man? Now, I got the kids this week. And because Maria is out, she's visiting her folks. She's doing that Peggy Sue got married thing. She's going out. She's getting the wise counsel of her parents. She's just going to drink hot chocolate and sit around a crackling fire with Ma and Pa. She's doing that beautiful kind of American reconnection with the folks. Do you ever do that, Craig? I know your folks are down in Irvine, right? You ever just go down there and just spend time just with the folks? And they sit there and they have a cup of Joe. Come on, Craig, tell us how it's been, son. I don't know, for Christ's sake. And your dad's got a bottle of Jim Beam and he's just freshening up your glass. And I know you do that, Mike, you know. I can't do it. My parents are dead. No, I'm kidding. My mother's very much alive. But Maria's gone out to where all the fine seniors in California live, Palm Springs. And she's out there now having dinner with them. And it's a typical thing, you know. Oh, I'm going to show my daughter off. To hell with the Christ away from me now, Viola. Oh, don't bugger. Come on out. No, I'm showing my daughter off. And they do. They take her out to the dances and all of the old folk thing. I'm not saying old folk, but, you know, the cats that are all retired out there. So she's, like, going all to their little, to their winter-tacular Palm Springs cotillion thing. Yeah, and then they have their, you know, their resort bingo night. And they have their golf. It's a hell of a, I'm telling you, it's a great way to live. You know, you go ahead and put down the old folks. Tell me you don't want to live like that. When you're finally, like, 70... You want to just kick it every day, playing cards in the clubhouse, go out, shoot 18 holes of golf, come back, get about 3 fingers of bourbon in a glass, go down, light up a cigar, play some cards, go home, have another drink with your wife, whatever the hell, and this is your life. What, it doesn't sound fulfilling? It doesn't sound exciting? It sounds repetitious? It sounds perfect. God. Well, we all ought to live, starting when you're like 8. Starting with that kid down in Santee. Anyway, so I got the kids this week. And it'll be interesting. I'm thinking of slipping a 9mm in one of their... I'm kidding. Jesus. And, of course, now the paranoia is rife. And the comments that I've seen, the warning signs were there. Well, what do you mean by the warning signs were there? He said he was going to shoot some people, and we thought he was kidding. Of course you'd think he was kidding. Of course you would. A healthy response to that is, you're kidding, right? To which he responded, yeah, I'm kidding. Or are you trying to tell me that now we've got to turn into a society where we report every single comment made? So now we become this, there's an Orwellian, Third Reichian, informian on your neighborian kind of a thingian. You know, you're writing stuff down and slipping it into the mailbox there in Fahrenheit 451. And, you know, my neighbor, I understand, I saw him. He was watching ESPN2 with his pants off. I think that, okay, great, now we're going to have to, you know, I got to check into this, man. Because we can't let any of these comments go by the board without checking into them thoroughly. And if a child says, I'm going to shoot somebody, we must bring him to the principal's office, make him feel as paranoid, make him feel as put upon, make him feel as scared. Make sure you beat the sense of humor out of every kid in America. And you say it's, Phil, how dare you? Children die. I understand kids died. I recognize that. What do you want? Are you honestly telling me now you want to have every single comment made that even appears antisocial by every single kid in America? You want all of this reported to the Ministry of Propaganda. You want this reported to the Ministry of the Thought Police so that we can be sure that we can monitor all the comments made by all the kids just in case. And not only that, not only the adults informing or the kids informing on each other, but how about the kids informing on the adults? You might as well. Don't you understand? The government isn't doing this to us. We're doing it to each other. You guys that spent all your time up in the woods in militias and all of you nutcases that think the government's going to have the black helicopters coming down on you, you cats couldn't be more wrong. What's happening and what the paranoia that is taking place and the mind control that is being promulgated is starting right there in the neighborhood. Your next door neighbor's doing it, not freaking Uncle Sam. Your neighbors, your friends, your PTA, your Board of Education, let's make sure we monitor even more closely, even more stringently, until we have ourselves a good, bona fide, quasi-police state. And it wasn't created by George Bush, and Bill Clinton didn't do it, man. And it wasn't the CIA, and it wasn't the FBI. It was Ma and Pa there at the freaking Little League meeting. Those are the guys that are creating the eventual paranoid society we're living in. You know what? I think we're too immature to handle democracy. That's why I'd like to vote for myself as Fuhrer. And I, by the way, I like the name Fuhrer. Reichsfuhrer sounds even better. I'm your leader. I'm Phil Hendry. And, you know, you got 10 minutes to accept it or there's a major coup. What do you think? I think it's a good idea. I could do better than you guys are doing. You're freaks. But I love you. Phil Hendry Show.